The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless.
Good morning, folks, and welcome. It's Oliver Callan in for Ryan for the rest of this week. He will be back next Monday. It is Tuesday, the 4th of August, 2020. This, I think, is the builder's holidays now, isn't it? The last month of summer. And I'm using air quotes for summer there. We're open anyway till 10 o'clock this morning. In the meantime, do let us know how your August has been going. The text is 51551 and the email is ryan@rte.ie. And to the newspapers this morning, and as you can imagine, as you've been hearing, there are gorgeous front pages paying tribute to the great John Hume. And I do encourage you to go out and buy a print edition because they are great value on days like this. And just by seeing, you know, the story on every front page of every newspaper, seeing it in the shops, it gives you a sense of the gravity of this man's passing. And the obituaries are weighty and they are, you know, reminders of what we went through in this country and what John Hume got us through. And I think it's fair to say the Irish Times front page really stands out. It's not only a full page photograph on the front page, but it also goes around the fold to the back page, and it's a really powerful photograph of John Hume. It's 1968, that electric year in the civil rights across the world, the year Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy were assassinated, and the year before the Troubles actually began themselves and erupted. And he is there as a young man. He's towering over this crowd. Daniel O'Connell monster meeting style, I suppose you would say. His arm extended out, and it's just pure charisma and enigma of the man. And their faces in the crowd, they're very clear because the photograph is just so huge, and they're young, they're determined, they're peering at the man, and it just goes back row after row of faces all the way into the hills of Derry behind him. And it reminds you of those famous lines by W.B. Yeats about hurling the little streets upon the great. In actual fact, on page 3 of the Times, there's a tribute written by Seamus Mallon, which he had penned before he died in January of this year. Imagine the two of them in the same year. And he also quotes W.B. Yeats: "Think where man's glory most begins and ends, and say my glory was I had such friends." And there are, you know, there are generations of youngsters, north and south, who may not know John Hume's name even, but who enjoy the fruits of his legacy. And I was up north at the weekend visiting St. John's Point Lighthouse in County Down, and you're reminded of the work of people like John, legacy, father of the peace process, as they're calling him, simply just by how safely you can go in a Southern registered car through towns with Union Jacks and UVF flags, and you're not even thinking about it, or having to scan towns in the north for the visual cues of identity, you know, and places you pass through. And they may not agree with each other up there still, but they do live in peace. And John Hume was a huge, huge part of that. And that's why they're saying today that he was the greatest Irishman since Parnell. Page 1 of the Irish Examiner stands out because it's Hume looking over the bogside in Derry, and you can just see the lines and lines of social housing. And that's, you know, how he started out on that issue of housing. And it's a story and a curse that remains in the South despite all our wealth and progress. And a reminder that he wasn't just, you know, he wasn't consumed by a big patriotic fervour, but he was just ensuring that people could live, you know, have somewhere to live, have the roof over their heads and raise their families in peace and security and all of that. Things we take for granted now. Page 4 of the Irish Independent has details of that funeral, which will be taking place tomorrow. And it is the kind of sadness that you can't have a big crowded funeral for John Hume because of COVID-19, of course. The funeral cortege bringing the remains to St. Eugene's, the Cathedral of St. Eugene in Derry, at 5 o'clock today. And the funeral itself will take place tomorrow at 11:30 tomorrow morning. Father Paul Farran, who's the administrator of the cathedral, will celebrate the Mass, preach the homily. The Bishop of Derry will also preside at the Mass, as Donal McKeown. And it will be streamed. Where can you see? Well, it'll be on RTE One Television at 11:30 tomorrow, and it will be streamed live on RTE News Now, everywhere, and on the digital platforms. So the family have appealed that if you want to pay tribute to John Hume, do so from your own home and remember him. Remember him in your own way. And there, as I say, get out, get the newspapers, because those obituaries about the full story, a long, long life dedicated to people and often to the detriment of his health, it has to be said, John Hume. Also, the other big story across the newspapers today is about the pubs and the Irish Daily Mail's front page, Pubs D-Day. And again, I was thinking of the North in relation to the pub rules. I was wondering, what are the rules up there? And I was asking up and down the other day, about the rules for pubs. And it's interesting, they have the same substantial meal thing in order to order a drink, but there are beer gardens. You can go straight to a pub that has a beer garden and order without food. And you're wondering, is there something there that they can some kind of olive branch? Because I don't think anyone's expecting next Monday to be the day the pubs are opening to the risk or the possible detriment of schools. Professor Luke O'Neill, who's a friend to this programme, has been writing at the weekend. He was suggesting that maybe rural pubs might be allowed to open. He's saying the safest thing could be allow them to reopen, given the importance for the communities and the especially low levels of the virus outside the major urban areas. But anyway, we'll find out later what the story is regarding pubs when our beleaguered government announced those details. Looking at a tweet here, unless I've misread the situation, the solution is either teaching in pubs or drinking in schools. Somebody replies, I've done both, to be fair. I don't think that's going to be the solution, but it might, you know, might give you a little bit of respite, comedic respite. Now, Paul Mescal, you can't have a day at the newspapers without stumbling upon the star of Normal People. And the Irish Sun tells us that Paul Mescal stars in the new music video being released by the Rolling Stones. And it's that song Scarlet. You might remember we played it here about 2 weeks ago and it got the dad rockers furious or kind of defending it and some people giving very detailed reviews of it. Scarlet was a previously unreleased track which was written in 1974, and the music video is being released to celebrate the reissue of the 1973 album Goat's Head Soup. So Paul Mescal, it's the latest thing I suppose he's done since Normal People. He stars in this trailer. There's even a trailer for the music video. We haven't even seen the music video yet. I think it's a full month before we're going to see the full music video. But it was shot in a socially distanced way. And there's lots of Irish connections here because the production company behind it is Academy Films, which is an Irish film production company. Maeve Reardon is one of the bosses in that company there. And it was shot in London's Claridge's Hotel, which is a five-star, a real big flagship hotel there in London, also owned by the Paddies. And we're used to seeing Connell in GA shorts, of course, famously, and maybe not in very much at all, but he's in a tuxedo, kind of semi-dishevelled because he's got the real bow tie and it's hanging open and it's a very brooding image. And I just saw a clip of the trailer this morning and he's kind of drinking whiskey in a hotel bedroom. It's all very Rolling Stones, isn't it? And yeah, that's Scarlet. So you'll see the full thing and you can get on and it'll kind of fill that Paul Mescal-shaped hole in your life if you've been missing it for the last while. Now, speaking of Irish actors in tuxedos, the Irish Mirror tells us that three Irish actors of our most critically acclaimed actors are in the line, or in the race, I suppose, to be the next Bond, because Daniel Craig is not going to be in the next, is going to hang up his bow tie after the next Bond, the kind of the cursed one, isn't it? No Time to Die, is that what it's called? It was due to come out last year and then it was put off and then Danny Boyle was the director, then he wasn't, and then somebody left and Hans Zimmer had to come in and write all the music late and the COVID-19 thing happened and I think next spring it's going to be coming out. But anyway, who's in the lineup? Well, Michael Fassbender, he's been linked to it for years, as well as Aidan Turner and Cillian Murphy. They would be kind of surprise contender, but according to GQ, the quintessential male British Bible, they are in the contenders for the 007 role. Who else is in the mix? Well, British superstars like Idris Elba, Tom Hardy and Orlando Bloom. I think Elba is the favourite for that. And an outside chance for Harry Styles. Apparently, he could get the ultimate action role after his much praised foray into the world of acting in Dunkirk. Didn't have a lot to do in Dunkirk, did he, other than just have good hair and sort of look smouldering at the camera every now and again. And if they decide to change gender, Gillian Anderson could be the first female Jane Bond, I think you would. Is that how you would describe her? Anyway, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? There seems to be constant contenders for Bond. But anyway, Paul Mescal, I'm sure, will be mentioned tomorrow just to fill in that Paul Mescal gap of the newspapers that you need to have. Now, what else is happening? We had a lot of discussion last week about Aaron jumpers because why will Taylor Swift's new album featured her wearing an Aaron jumper and then she was selling them and then everyone's making it. We had Anne on and Anne was talking about Aaron jumpers. Well, in the Farming Independent today, Darren McCullough is writing about sheep farmers and, you know, he's saying basically not even Taylor Swift can save the international wool business. Wool prices are so low this year that many farmers are just dumping the product in their fields for composting. He says against the background of all the plastics that we have in our jumpers now and the fact that nobody reading what he's writing here in the Farming Independent today is probably wearing wool. Well, it is August, although there's parts of the country you could wear wool in. How would it be possible that a superb natural fibre like wool ends up being worth so little there's even less value than farmyard manure? Wool was always prized as a superb material for clothing because it does all the things have been laboriously engineered to do, such as it has brilliant insulation, dries easily, holds its shape, takes colours in whatever shade of the rainbow we fancy. And despite all these characteristics, farmers have been able to recoup even the cost of shearing the fleece for years. There are prices of the order of 10 cent a kilo or less than 50 cent a fleece. The shearer has to be paid 2.50. So, you know, that's why they're dumping it. In an era, he says, Dara, in an era when sustainability is supposed to be the key to everything we do, how is it that wool only accounts for 1% of the clothing we wear? Why do we continue to pump our attics and walls with polystyrene and foam when wool will be just as good? That is something that people should be looking at. Yeah, sustainability. And everyone who buys a good wool jumper, you have it for life. It's a lifer thing because it holds its shape and all that jazz. Actually, speaking of Taylor Swift, she has broken a lot of records with her new album, Folklore. I listened to a little bit of it. It's downbeat. It was a surprise album, but it's broken several chart records in the first week on sale, according to the BBC. The record was written and recorded during the lockdown, and it swerves away from the pop sound that dominated her last three albums. On Spotify, she reached 80 million streams in a single day, the highest ever tally for a female artist. The album itself sold 846,000 copies, which is quite a lot in the world of streaming and all that. People went out and actually bought the digital version of it, I'm sure. It made making the best-selling record of the year after only 7 days. She also became the first artist in US chart history to have 7 albums sell more than 500,000 copies in a single week. And in Ireland, Swift now has 5 number one albums, more than any other female artist in the 21st century, overtaking Madonna and Beyoncé. Now, speaking of Spotify, some musicians are very angry about Spotify's chief executive. He's a billionaire, Daniel Ek. He's worth £3 billion. He has said that it's no longer viable for artists to record albums once every 3 to 4 years to earn a living. He says they need to do more. He told the artist, you got to work harder. So obviously a lot of them are pretty annoyed with this. Mike Mills from REM has been tweeted, go F yourself. Very nice. David Crosby of Crosby, Stills and Nash, the folk rock group, described the Spotify boss as greedy. And other singer-songwriters said they're tired of having to work with companies that exploited her and other musicians. The British artists have launched the hashtag Broken Record campaign to lobby for a greater slice of streaming royalties because, of course, the royalties are supposed to be so poor that they rely on live work. And there's none of that at the minute, is there? And Sir Cliff Richard has pointed out that artists using Spotify only get paid 0.006p per play. So he's not very happy. Now, let us know what's happening in your world on the texts 51551. You can email Ryan at rte.ie as well. Oliver, isn't a testament to the work that John Hume did that some younger people may, as you mentioned, not know his name and have no need to. He certainly has done this island some services, Alan and Louth. You keep telling us about normal people, but you've said nothing about Max Irons, son of Jeremy Irons and Sinead Cusack, as Joe Turner in the spy thriller Condor on RTE2 on Thursdays, says Fintan J. Power. Well, I didn't know, but there you go. We've said it now, so hopefully that'll do the job. And let's just go and say Max Irons is probably in the running for Bond as well at some point. How about our very own Richard Bruton for the new 007 agent? Great beach scenes would be guaranteed. Yes, he was compared to Daniel Craig, and Richard Bruton's beach bod broke the internet. Can you say that still? Now, I was talking about artists and people angry. Well, The beleaguered government put their foot in it again. This time, Minister Heather Humphreys has been blasted for her insult to musicians. Apparently, she said that she's the Minister for Employment Affairs and Social Protection. And she said it's best that we help people to reskill, retrain and look at other jobs they can take up. She's talking about jobs that are not coming back too soon in the pandemic. And this got artists in particular very het up. Brian Kennedy told the Irish Daily Mail he found the remarks insulting. He called on the government to respect those in the arts rather than pay lip service when they're nominated for awards on the world stage, often using them for photo ops as well. Country music superstar Mike Denver, who last played in March on the 8th of March, said, "I couldn't agree with the minister and what she said, but what's most worrying is that the government doesn't appear to have a proper plan in place." So putting their feet in it, and lots of artists particularly annoyed about that type of thing. Now, something entirely unrelated. Fungi. And I saw pictures over the weekend, people saying, "Great to see this legend is still going strong." That's Fungi, the dingle dolphin. And I just got always reminded of all those conspiracy theory stories about Fungi, whether it's the same dolphin. Have they, you know, had a casting for a new dolphin and secretly replaced in the off-season, and then the tourists come around and go, "There's Fungi again." But no, apparently the Guinness World Records, and they're very strict about these things, has said Fungi is the oldest living solitary dolphin in the world. And that was only a few months ago. Fungi is 40 years of age and is still going strong down in Dingle very well. And behaving very well, unlike some of the holidaymakers abroad. Unfortunately, the Irish Times tells us this morning the police in the Algarve in Portugal have been dispersing large groups of Irish and British holidaymakers, breaking the country's COVID-19 restrictions. Officers have been emptying restaurants and clubs in the resort where the rules have been broken. In a news report screened on Portuguese television, one unnamed teenage Irish holidaymaker said he and his friends came to the Algarve every year. When asked how many of his friends were there, he said 50. And this is in a place where gatherings are limited to 20. And there was ructions, wasn't there, in Kilkee and Clare at the weekend, with youngsters not social distancing gathering in mobs. Mobs. All you can say is a big sigh, and they're certainly not helping the cause for pubs, rural pubs opening. It's 20 past nine, but we'll listen to your text. Text again, 51551. Oliver, the Dlan Aran jumpers are 100% Irish wool. My mum pays a good price for the wool from Donegal. We had a lady into the Burren Craft Fair who needed a few holes repaired in her 40-year-old Aran jumper. And I didn't know you could get the holes repaired in an Aran jumper. So you can really keep them for life, and you keep the craft people in business when you show up with your jumper full of holes. And that was at the Burren Craft Fair, which we plugged plenty last week. There's no harm in giving it another go. Now, it's just gone 20 past nine, so we better move along. And let's have something from that younger generation that we're talking about, has benefited and grew up without the troubles. This is a band called Riva, and they're from Derry. And that's the voice of Aoife Boyle, whose band goes by Riva, and it's called You Said Tell Me. And as I say, a Derry talent, and representative of that, you know, generation for whom I suppose the history, the grim history of the North, is just a backdrop to Derry girls, isn't it? And we thank and salute John Hume for that on this day. Now, the text is 51551, and we're talking again about Aran jumpers. We've got to get away from them. I have a 25-year-old woolen jumper in my wardrobe. It is in the wardrobe because while it has kept its shape, I haven't. I know how you feel. You know, the Aran jumper now, it wouldn't suit many of us in certain shapes. That shape being kind of very Winnie the Pooh-esque, to be honest. Talking about teenagers behaving badly at home and abroad this summer. We know where the teens are. Where are the parents? Yeah, well, the parents have probably just got their heads in their hands going, "I've lost control of them." And we shouldn't say not all teenagers are behaving badly, because I've seen a lot of groups, they're not socially distancing, but they're not all behaving badly. And we're not hearing huge amounts in terms of, you know, in terms of being vectors or spreading the dreaded thing. It's 25 past nine. We'll take a break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
And welcome back. We're still on the subject of Aran jumpers on our text 51551. If you've got something more substantial to say, the email is ryan@rte.ie. We have an email here from Claire McHugh. She says she went to primary school in St. Angela's National School in Castlebar, County Mayo. For our confirmation at age 12, we knit and wore our own Aran jumpers. It was 1967. The sad thing is, I have no photo to prove it. Maybe if there's someone out there who has a class photo, that would be wonderful. Thanks for all the fun in the morning. So Claire McHugh is a shout. That's a shout out for St Angela's National School. If you were in that class in 1967 for the confirmation, wearing the Aran jumper that they made themselves with their own bare hands in Mayo in the 1960s, do let us know, and we'll pass along to Claire McHugh. 51551 is that text again. It's just gone a quarter to ten. We'll have a wee tune. Rome, oh God, yes, fabulous, says Helen O'D on the Twitter machine. Yes, the B-52s there. I could just think of Love Shack, though, you know, it's particularly at the end of it. Now, an email, ryan@rte.ie. Hi, Oliver, as a follow-on from your discussions on Aran jumpers, I thought I could share this story with you and your listeners. It goes like this. Back in the late 70s, when my husband was a teenager, his aunt knitted him an Aran jumper. It was in a very distinctive cornflower blue, and she had some wool left over, so she knitted him a matching hat. Oh, imagine cornflower blue. So you can see the jumper on a teenager and a matching cornflower blue hat. Okay, so being the dutiful boy that he was, not wanting to hurt his aunt's feelings, he wore the matching set every evening when he was out walking his dog. Most evenings he ventured out to the local golf course for the walk, and one evening he lost the hat. And the apprentices here wasn't too upset because, truth be told, he found it a bit itchy. A few days later, he was out walking wearing his lovely blue jumper. He took a shortcut through a gate and met a local man coming the other way. As he approached, he realised the man was wearing the blue hat. Neither of them mentioned the glaringly obvious, and they chatted pleasantly. They chatted for a bit and never mentioned the jumper. So the young boy, the blue jumper, the old man in the blue hat. After they finished talking, this husband, who was a teenager at the time, went around the corner and doubled over with laughter. He told his aunt the story, and down through the years, they get a laugh out of it every now and then. That's coming in from Siobhan. So that's the story of the lovely blue jumper and the blue hat. I wonder if it's still in an attic somewhere. And you can tell that story for years and years to come. It's just gone 10 to 10, so we better take a break.